World leaders have condemned this weekend's bombing in the Somali capital, Mogadishu, that killed hundreds of people. With me to talk about that and a couple of the other big stories coming up this week on the international stage is the BBC's Camilla Mills. And Camilla, first off, what do we know so far about that bombing in Mogadishu, and what information should we be watching out for in the coming days?
Yes, so Mark, the blast was on Saturday, and the current death toll sits at over 300, but that's expected to rise, as hundreds more were seriously injured. The government has blamed the Islamist militant group Al-Shabaab. They're linked to Al-Qaeda and are thought to have between 7 and 9,000 members. But unusually, Al-Shabaab itself hasn't commented yet. My BBC Africa colleague, Anne Soy, has an interesting take on why that may be.
When you look at the past 3 or 4 months, Mogadishu has been quiet. Coming back to the capital and executing such a huge attack is something that has left the people shocked and angry. And possibly this is why the group hasn't claimed responsibility so far, fearing that the public sentiment could be so much against them at this point in time.
So here's some background. Earlier this year, Al-Shabaab vowed to increase its attacks after the Trump administration and Somalia's recently elected president announced new military efforts against the group. That's led to an increase in drone strikes by the US military against Al-Shabaab. And a US Special Forces commando was killed in May during a raid on an Al-Shabaab compound. They were the first American combat casualty in Africa since the Black Hawk episode in Mogadishu in 1993. So there's a couple of things to watch out for over the coming days. Firstly, the death toll. As I said, it is expected to rise, but it's too early to say how high. And then claims of responsibility. This was a huge attack, but as I said, we've not had any official claims yet. We'll be watching to see who puts their name on this and the response that generates from the authorities in Somalia and elsewhere in Africa, as well as the US, which has had troops in Somalia since 2007.
Camilla, let's move to Asia now, where in China, the Communist Party Congress begins this week. What's happening there?
Yeah, so this happens every 5 years. It's an event that determines who will lead the party. And those people will go on to lead the 1.3 billion people of China and the helm of the world's second largest economy. So why is this important? I spoke to Howard Zhang from the BBC's Chinese service, and he had some pretty strong words.
After the election of President Trump and the UK's vote to leave the European Union and a series of other what they perceive as disastrous decisions made by the West, the conclusion more and more is the West has lost its ability at the top to lead and to make correct decisions. And its turn has come to remodel and to have a China model. The outcome of this Congress is, you know, very much related to what the world will become in the next 10 to 15 years.
So as the US has discussed stepping away from international agreements like the Paris Climate Accord, UNESCO, the Iran deal, and NATO, China increasingly sees itself as the main player on the international stage. There are two main things we're watching out for. Firstly, President Xi Jinping will deliver a report which will give analysts hints at China's political direction over the next 5 years. And secondly, a complete refresh of the country's 24-member Politburo, one of the real decision-making bodies in China. But here's the really interesting bit. Normally, we'd expect potential new leaders to be presented at the Congress, but there's speculation that President Xi will break with tradition and not do that this time around. Some even think he may announce a move to extend his rule past the traditional 2-term limit for the presidency. That would be controversial because it would go against the constitution, but also because since becoming president in 2012, his anti-corruption campaign has seen more than 1 million officials disciplined. Some say that's his way of purging political opponents. The Congress begins on Wednesday and lasts a week.
And finally, Camilla, staying in Asia, a few weeks ago, Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe called a snap general election. That vote is set to take place on Sunday. What's important here?
Yes, so Mark, Mr. Abe dissolved Japan's parliament just under 3 weeks ago ahead of Sunday's vote. He became Prime Minister in 2012, but has seen a drop in popularity amid accusations of cronyism. But that popularity dip has been somewhat reversed, and that's all because of North Korea. Mr. Abe has taken a fairly firm stance over North Korea, which has been well received in Japan. So he's using this opportunity and resurgence of support to secure his political future. So what are the key issues here? Well, there's one main one really, and that is North Korea. When he called the election, Mr. Abe described the North Korea situation as, and I'm quoting here, a national crisis. He wants to implement tougher, strict sanctions against Pyongyang rather than an open dialogue. That approach, as you'd imagine, is supported by President Trump. And the issue was discussed when Mr. Abe visited Washington earlier this year. Here he is at the time, speaking through an interpreter at a press conference with Mr. Trump.
So today, I very much look forward to deepening our discussion with a focus on the issue of North Korea and also other issues. And by doing that, I certainly hope to further solidify our alliance and partnership.
A survey out today says Mr. Abe is on track for a landslide win, and it looks like second place will fall to the newly formed Party of Hope, which has opposing views to Mr. Abe when it comes to the economy. Now, Mr. Abe has been a crucial supporter for President Trump. The two men are said to have clicked and seem to get on well, including over a round of golf when Mr. Abe visited in February. So we expect Washington to be watching Sunday's vote closely.
All right, that's the BBC's Camilla Mills. Camilla, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for having me.